Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
One pitch. Fastball pulled and passed. Alvarez is toward the corner.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Adam, Scott, Heath, and Chris.
How good is Aristides Aquino? He's so good that his three homer games make Jordan Alvarez's three homer games practically not exist. Nobody even cares.
Back page.
Yeah.
Back page.
Back page.
Jordan Alvarez.
And not one of those good back pages, like, you know, the New York Post being on the back page is a good thing, you know, for sports.
Sure.
One of those, like, bad back pages.
I meant bad. Mm-hmm. Bad back page. Bad.
And he's 66% owned, and I'm starting him in the playoffs.
66? That jumped, like, 60% in one day.
No.
I guess that's what happened.
Not that much, really, in one day.
I'm exaggerating a little, but
yeah. Well,
he went
that.
From 2% owned last week to 68% owned this.
No, 68%. Aristides Aquino. How about that? Is he the most added player? Yes, he is.
Yeah,
Mike Talkman is two. It's New York flavor after that. Talkman, Urshela, J.D. Davis. All right, so welcome to the show, Scott and I here at night. But not, like, so late where we're going to be goofy. It's 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, and there's a game in progress. I'm going to go ahead and make a bold prediction and say that Jake Arrieta just made his last start of the season. They're going to shut him down, put him on the IL. Just a guess. But, you know, he's getting crushed. Or he's already gotten crushed, and he's out of the game tonight. But you're hearing this on Monday morning, so good morning to you all, or Monday afternoon or whatever. We're here to help you set your lineup, here to help you pick up important players, and let's get started, Scott. Who's the hitter to add?
The hitter to add, I could go a few different directions. If you want the hitter to add, who is the hitter I believe in most, because I'm sure we'll get to all of these guys today. You know, I'm not even going to do Gio Urshela because he's 75%. And I'm sure we'll get to him too. But the one I'm going to say is J.D. Davis, Mets left fielder, who homered twice over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Friday and Saturday, and obviously has been on a nice run since joining the starting lineup as an everyday player. His xBA. All right, first of all, let's just talk about batting average and OPS, right, for J.D. Davis this season. 308 batting average, OPS of about 900. Mm-hmm. And you think, okay, he's on a hot streak, right? It's a small sample size because he's been a reserve most of the time. Well, his xBA and xWOBA are actually both higher than his batting average and WOBA. Like, he's underachieved according to those stats. Guy who hits the ball to all fields, doesn't strike out much. I'm very excited. Very excited about J.D. Davis.
Yep. Third base and outfield eligible, J.D. Davis. And he is on a lot of my teams. What is his ownership percentage?
44.
Wow. Okay.
44%.
Okay. And, you know, at this point, are you ready to drop Justin Upton for J.D. Davis or Aristides Aquino, who's the most added player? Are you ready to drop Lorenzo Cain for these guys?
I would be ready to drop Cain. I feel like Justin Upton, given his track record and how much time he missed, I don't know. I'd feel better about starting Davis right now. So if it comes down to not a bench spot, I guess I might make that move. Aquino, I mean, look, I'm not saying anyone shouldn't pick up Aquino, who is now up to 35 home runs this year between the majors and minors. And have you seen him? I'm sure you've seen him by now. He just had a three-homer game. I'm sure you've seen the highlights for at least that.
Yes.
Like that.
He's the Punisher.
Wide open Tony Bautista stance where he's like facing the pitcher head on.
Yeah. It's fun.
It's fun, but like there's actually like that might be a key to the break because that just changed from this year when he was just kind of a middling, you know, who's that guy in the Jorge Bonifacio, that Royals outfielder that nobody cares about. That's who Aquino was before this year when he became monster power hitter. Getting a good look at the pitcher as the ball comes in. I mean, it might be as simple as that. But it's a 30% strikeout rate, and he might have that Austin Riley situation going on where he gets the rug pulled out from under him at some point. Or maybe not. But I think he's scarier than J.D. Davis, so I'd rather have Davis.
I think for this week, you know, Mike Tauchman is so interesting. It's seven games. They're all at home. And he's got the Orioles pitching staff for three of those four games. And then he does have the Indians, but no Shane Bieber, which is nice. He has Plutko, Savale, who's no picnic, Plesac, and Clevenger. But, you know, Gabriel Ynoa, John Means, and Dylan Bundy, the first three games of the week for Tauchman. So seven games all at home in that short right field porch, and three of them against Baltimore, who he homered. What did he homer, like three times against Baltimore this past week?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, Tauchman.
Three times.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Aquino is because let me look at his matchups. Oh, sorry, I just moved away from the
mic. That's okay. We heard
the rest matchups are fine. He, you know, he probably could be among the top 10 sleeper hitters.
Who, Aquino?
Obviously, I wrote it before. He had a three homer day, but Tauchman is, J.D. Davis is, Urshela. I mean, he was number one on the list, and clearly people responded to that over the weekend, as they should, because Urshela is just I think he's a stud.
Might be. He's got very good profile. Now, I don't want to talk about him because, you know, it's just been a whole week of talking about Tauchman and Urshela and J.D. Davis and Aquino. So those are definitely guys you could pick up.
Has it been a whole week? We haven't talked about Aquino that much.
Chris and I have.
Oh, okay.
and you and I have. But, no, Aquino deserves it. I mean, he hit those three home runs. And I think the question now is really who do you drop for these hot hitters? So, like Lorenzo Cain, I dropped. Elvis Andrews, I am dropping in a points league for maybe J.D. Davis or somebody hot. I can't remember. Obviously, I'm going to plug somebody in at shortstop. But, look, we're at the point in the season where right now matters. This is a playoff week. Elvis Andrews in a points league has been mostly useless for about a month. So, you know, there are a lot of struggling guys that I think I'm ready to pull the plug on. I don't know if any other names come to mind for you, Scott. Like Chris Davis. Would you drop Chris Davis for any of these guys?
I think I may have just dropped Chris Davis in the podcast points league. I'm not sure if it went through or not. I may have another claim going through tonight, though it's for a pitcher. Yes. I think I would drop Chris Davis for all of these guys.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's winning time, so...
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he's DH only makes him pretty unstartable, I think. If you're competitive, and I imagine those are the only people really listening and making moves still, and you play in a league with, you know, standard head-to-head lineup, so that DH spot is really precious because, you know, anytime you have an extra player at any position, that's the only place you could put him.
Yeah.
Like, you obviously have somebody good in that spot if you made it to this point and you're still competitive, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, pitchers to add. Oh, another hitter to add is Ian Happ, by the way. He's going to be second base eligible on Monday. He made his fifth appearance there today, so that's actually who I dropped Elvis Andrews for.
Yeah, and he's not striking out nearly as much as we remember him doing, and that started in July in the minors. I don't know exactly what changed for him, but he stopped striking out so darn much. Started 4 of 5 at second base, and he has only 4 Ks in those games. And I think it actually looks better if you go further back. But yeah, 4 home runs in 7 games for Ian Happ.
Yep. Okay, Scott, pitchers to add. Who do we got?
So the pitchers aren't as exciting as the hitters.
Yeah.
There is Mitch Keller, who's coming back up. For a 2-start week, I guess, unless he just totally bombs on Monday.
I'd be
enthusiastic about picking him up because, like, he's a pitcher with upside. He's been considered one of the best pitching prospects for years now, even though the numbers are kind of, they don't blow you away. AAA, obviously, this year is very hitter-friendly, so you gotta factor that in. He had 12 strikeouts in his most recent AAA start. Obviously, we've seen him before this year, and it didn't go well. 3 awful starts, but, you know, he's looked pretty good since getting back to AAA. So I wouldn't be picking up to start him for 2 starts, but to add him, I think that's fine. Aaron Savale was good again on Sunday. 5 strikeouts in 6 innings, so he's right at a strikeout per inning between his 3 starts, 18 strikeouts in 18 innings after a good showing at AAA. Again, a very difficult place to pitch. Not exactly sure what's made Savale so successful this year, but it's been a long enough pattern that, and, you know, options of pitching are so limited that I think you got to make a play for him, too.
Yeah, I watched the start today, a lot of it, against the Twins. It was at the Twins. And he's going to be at the Yankees this week. I was afraid of Aaron Civale's matchups, but okay, fine. Even with the Twins without Nelson Cruz, it's still a brutal lineup. The Yankees, on the other hand, are really not that bad of a lineup. Yeah, I mean, they get Sanchez back today, but I mean, they're not the same. So I don't know. I'm on the fence about whether or not I'd start Civale, but my impression is, you know, it doesn't look like unbelievable stuff, but it looks like he's got enough of an arsenal to keep people off balance and kind of changes locations, changes pitches.
Yeah.
Seems like a good pitcher. I was pretty impressed. He really had them seem like very fooled today. 6 innings, 1 run, 5 strikeouts on Sunday at Minnesota. So he's definitely a guy I'd be picking up.
All right. So I'm going to put a third name out there. Okay. And this one, he's only 5% owned, which means people have not reacted in the way I've reacted. They probably know better. They're probably smarter than me.
Hold on, Scott. Let me see. I'm going to go to my deep league section here. It's not Sandoval. I can't get behind it.
I tried to pick him up in every league. And
I
this
can't
is
get behind it.
The state of pitching. You got to pursue upside wherever it reveals itself, and sometimes it reveals itself with a 30-year-old journeyman by the name of Mike Montgomery. Now, I'll preface this, as always, when just because you pick up a guy doesn't mean you have to start him, right? I mean, even if you're, you know, fighting for your playoff life right now, you know, you make it to the next round, Mike Montgomery has another dominant start, then what? But what he did on Saturday, granted, against the Tigers, probably the worst lineup in baseball without Castellanos, 12 strikeouts and 7 shutout innings with 20 swinging strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Not an isolated incident, because his last time out, 5 1/3 innings with 13 swinging strikes, very high swinging strike rate, 2 starts in a row. And what he said after that start was, you know, getting out of the bullpen, getting back in a you know, multi-inning situation, you really get to make use of your full arsenal. The cutter is something he wasn't throwing out of the bullpen for the Cubs, and the cutter has been very effective for him since moving back to the rotation. He's thrown it a lot, and it seemed to make every pitch of his a better swing and miss pitch. Mm-hmm. And so the 2 starts in a row that have been like really eye-opening. And for a guy who, I mean, it's ancient history now, but Mike Montgomery was considered one of the very best, like, top 20 overall prospects when he was coming up through the Royals organization. And it just, you know, he got to the majors and didn't go anywhere. He got moved to the bullpen pretty quickly and whatever. But I don't know. I'm intrigued enough to pick him up and see where it goes, because there have been like when Mike Minor was hot at the start of the year.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people were just like, whatever, it's Mike Minor. And look how that's gone. Lance Lynn, same situation. Like sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes they come out of nowhere.
Mike Montgomery has the amazing Mets this week in a 1-start week. So he's 5% owned. Cal Quantrill is 28% owned. Who would you rather have, Cal Quantrill or Mike Montgomery?
Montgomery. Okay. Montgomery. Yeah, I'm not really sure what's made Quantrill effective. He's certainly not getting strikeouts, so I'm not trusting in that.
Okay. So Scott gave you Mitch Keller as a guy to pick up but not necessarily start, even with his 2 starts at the Angels and the Cubs. Aaron Civale, 1 start at the Yankees this week. And Mike Montgomery, 1 start against the Mets. So I'm not sure we're starting any of these guys, but, you know, you could do worse, at least in terms of stashing right now and seeing where it goes. Aaron Sanchez is like 75% owned. I'm not shocked he had a good start against the Orioles. 5 innings, 1 run, 3 walks, but 6 strikeouts. That came after a 6 scoreless innings, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts start against Seattle. Aaron Sanchez will be at Oakland this week, so you could add him. Jeff Samardzija is also 75%. He's been awesome. He's got a 1.95 ERA in his last 8 starts. I'm kind of interested in Mike Foltynewicz. I know that his ERA hasn't been very good in his 2 starts since coming back, but he has 14 strikeouts and 11 and a third.
That first start, the slider definitely looked like it was back, and that was the key. I think I wasn't on Wednesday's show when you talked about it, but that was kind of the key to...
I talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, he got 10 swinging of his 15 swinging strikes were on the slider, which he threw more than when he was up before. Seemed to get the confidence back in it when he said he didn't trust him. He didn't feel comfortable throwing it anymore after losing a lot of spring training to an elbow injury.
I got a guy.
It wasn't quite as effective this time out, at least in terms of the numbers. I didn't watch it. It was actually blacked out for me, so I couldn't watch it.
It was blacked out?
Yeah. The Marlins are the only team I can't watch.
Well, you don't have cable?
I can't watch any Marlins games.
You don't have cable?
No. Yeah, I have some cable.
You're a cord cutter.
To broadcast the Marlins games locally. Wow, obviously,
Scott's
the MLB at bat app.
Scott is a cord cutter. How about that? All right, so here's another. Let me give you 2 more guys who are all owned right around the same range. Foltynewicz, Chris Bassitt, and Ryan Yarbrough, all owned in about 66% of leagues. Bassitt starting to pitch pretty well. I mean, for the year, he's a 3.56 ERA and a 1.18 WHIP. 4 straight starts of 6 or more innings. And unfortunately, he gets Houston this week. And Ryan Yarbrough almost threw a complete game shutout today, Sunday. He went 8 2/3, 3 hits, no runs, 8 strikeouts, and he gets Detroit this week. I don't know if he's going to be starting or coming in as a reliever. But Foltynewicz, Bassitt, and Yarbrough, who'd you be interested there? Who would you be interested in there?
So Foltynewicz is the upside play. You're hoping to get, strike gold with him. Yarbrough is he's not bad. He's pretty handy, being relief pitcher eligible, a lot of win potential since he often follows an opener. Probably needs to be owned. And then Bassett's the guy I just don't believe in at all. Yeah, he's been good lately. That's for sure. Four of his past 6 starts, quality starts with about a K per, not far below that. But, low swinging strikes. Not like he's a good ground ball guy. I'm not seeing that continuing, even though I say that, acknowledging that Mike Fiers has now thrown.
Oh gosh, Mike Fiers.
14 of 15 quality stuff.
No idea. It's now 17 starts where Mike Fiers is 9-0 with a 2.12 ERA and 71 strikeouts in 110 and a third.
I don't want to be there when it all catches up to him.
Houston.
His deal with the devil runs out.
Houston this week. He's already in this stretch. He's had 2 quality starts against Houston and 2 quality starts against Minnesota. But I'm so nervous about starting him against Houston. I'm glad I don't own Mike Fiers and I don't have to make that decision. Any changes to the 2 star pitchers for this upcoming week? When we talked about them on Friday, it was a pretty bad list. Mitch Keller becomes more interesting than most of the guys on the list. We've already said we're not quite ready to throw him into the fire. Were there any changes that you saw?
Okay.
What? What's so funny?
We were talking about Fiers, and then I thought you did that on purpose.
No, I didn't. When I said it, I felt like I was trying to make a pun, but I wasn't. I wasn't.
I was thinking of a story a few years ago where I was having dinner with my wife's family and her grandmother, who's no longer with us, but that's neither here nor there. It's sad. I don't know why I threw that.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that.
She was talking about how she went with her friend to see her friend's grandson pitch. And I was, thinking it's some no name or whatever. And she goes, and I'm, well, what was his name? I say. And she was like, Mike Fiers, I want to say. No. Your friend's grandson is Mike Fiers?
Really?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty
random.
Cool story. Yeah.
Yeah.
that actually is a good story. I didn't mean to make an abrupt segue, but are there any 2-star pitcher updates?
Yeah, there are some 2-star pitcher updates. I don't have them prepared.
That was brought to you by Bill Lumberg. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what they were now. Oh, the Diamondbacks go from Mike Leake being a two-star pitcher. Obviously, he started Sunday. It was horrible. Merrill Kelly is now, but one game's at Colorado. Not super excited about that. Mitch Keller, obviously, is a two-star pitcher. I guess you mentioned that at the top of the segment. And Matthew Boyd's a two-star pitcher now, but, you know, that's... You see two balls next to his name. Obviously, you're starting him. Yeah, nothing that interesting.
And any sleeper hitters you want to tease, please read Scott's sleeper hitters column. Very, very useful.
Sleeper hitters I want to tease. Pretty much the whole Yankees lineup, because they have a lot of, like, cast-offs and retreads in there right now because of all the injuries. They're all hitting well, and they play 8 games this week. 4 against the Orioles, 4 against the Indians, but they miss Shane Bieber. They do get Clevinger, but still.
Yeah, I can't support Mike Ford, but other than that, sure. And I don't think I could support Cameron Maben, but
Urshela, of course, Talkman, of course, Brett Gardner, Cameron Maben. Yeah, Cameron Maben's actually 10th on the list.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He's playing every day. He didn't play Sunday, but that was a rare day off. He's playing every day.
Okay.
And hitting well. I don't buy it long term, but hot hand with those matchups, why not?
Interesting. Well, Sanchez is back now, so that's going to probably be at least one DH day. All right. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Today's sponsor is SeatGeek. Please check out SeatGeek. Use the code FANTASY for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek is a very dedicated sponsor of ours. They sponsor a lot of our shows, not just the fantasy shows, but great sponsor for CBS Sports Podcast and a great app. And I am on SeatGeek basically every day right now, monitoring tickets to a football game, and I will be purchasing them on SeatGeek. You can use the code FANTASY for $10 off. A lot of bullpen news for you here when we come back on Fantasy Baseball Today. Stick around.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Well, the Braves might have a new closer by the time you hear this, like from Sunday night to Monday morning. But
I don't think it'll be new. It'll be one they've tried before.
Sean Doolittle had a horrible outing on Friday. What a cool series that Mets National Series was. But he bounced back, got a save on Sunday. Ken Giles thus far has avoided the IL. It was looking like they might have to put him on the IL, but so far he's off it, and they've been, I think, a little encouraged based on Sunday. So Derek Law might be the guy. He got a 4-out save on Saturday, has 11 straight scoreless appearances entering Sunday's game. I don't think he pitched on Sunday. So I think it's still Giles, but if Giles does go on the IL, take a look at Derek Law if you're desperate. Meanwhile, Mark Melancon was the closer. Is he still the closer? He gave up 4 singles and 4 runs at Miami on Saturday.
I got a little excited about this when obviously Shane Green, been terrible through his first 4 appearances, a blown save, a loss. And they said, okay, Mark Melancon, we're going to go with him. He was on like a good run for a solid month there. But then the first chance he gets against the Marlins, 4 in runs. Shane Green actually came in and technically got the blown save, but obviously.
Poor guy.
Yeah. So then they turned to Luke Jackson Sunday, and he allowed 3 hits and probably shouldn't have gotten the save, but he did. So I don't imagine Luke Jackson's going to be the guy next time out. I have no idea who it's going to be.
Oh, it's Melancon.
I would think it's Shane Green again.
Well, he gave up 4 singles. Like, I feel like there's a little bit of Melancon. I feel like there's a little bit of bad luck there.
Here's the issue with the Braves, because all 3 of their big acquisitions, Green, Melancon now, and Chris Martin, too, have been just awful in the short time since they've come over. And so, you know, their bullpen looks worse than ever. And I think this is just kind of summing up what it is to be a closer, I think, in this environment. Because you have the true lockdown relievers, like the Aroldis Chapman's type, who their strikeouts are so awesome that you know in the long run they're going to be dominant. And then you have the pitchers that are obviously just bad. You know, they're not handling any high leverage role, and they're going to get sent to the minors soon enough. And then you have all the pitchers in between that the ratios are like, yeah, they're good enough that they might do fine in the closer role. And all three of those guys they acquired are that kind of reliever, as is Luke Jackson himself, by the way. And it's just such a crapshoot, I think, with that caliber reliever in the environment we're in now, where they might go on a good run, they might have an awful outing. It's just, who knows? And in the long run, the numbers will probably be fine, but how many games are they going to blow on the way there? I don't know. I mean, we've seen that from all but like those 10, 11 guys at the top of the relief pitcher rankings, right?
Well, yeah, RP's been wild for sure. I will see how many people we actually trust. The guy I am starting to trust again is Hector Neris. He's really turned it around.
He's probably in that group where, okay, yeah, he's on a nice run right now.
I think that after he got demoted last year, and he came back up and he was freaking awesome. And he was awesome the year before, I think 2017. So I feel like he's a good pitcher, but he's clearly pretty streaky. All right, who else? Emilio Pagan, I trust. I think if you want to pick up a closer, Pagan is getting so many of the save chances for the Rays, including a one-out save today.
Yep, four straight saves he's got for the Rays in 5 of 6.
Jose Leclerc, I think, is pretty much worth picking up. He's 50% owned. Mm-hmm. Seth Lugo, so the Seth Lugo comes in and pitches the eighth. The Mets on Saturday. The Mets go ahead and take the lead, I believe, in the bottom of the eighth, and they leave Lugo in to pitch the ninth. And Mickey Callaway says, well, I knew that Lugo wasn't going to be available for us tomorrow, so I just decided to give him a second inning. Edwin Diaz is still our guy. But like, if Edwin Diaz is your guy, you probably use him in that situation, especially since he was very well rested. So today, of course, Lugo wasn't available. They were pitching in the ninth. They bring in Diaz to pitch in the ninth inning in a non-save situation. He's losing by 2 or 3 runs at the time, and he stinks again, and he gives up a home run. I don't know how much longer they can continue to stand by Edwin Diaz, and Lugo's been so good, and I've said it so many times, he's worth picking up even if he doesn't get saves. But Diaz, now look, he hadn't pitched in 6 days before giving up a home run today and a walk, so maybe that had something to do with it, but it's just clear who the best reliever in that bullpen is. But I think if you're desperate, like if you don't want to worry about a Braves closer, Oberg's definitely the guy, although they never win.
And he had a terrible showing Friday, I guess it was, he gave up 4 runs in a non-safe situation.
Oh, okay. I missed that one. Pagan is the guy. Pagan is definitely someone I'd look at. He's 44% owned, and Leclerc is 50% owned, and those are some options for you. Okay, good stuff. News and notes. Mitch Keller is going to start against the Angels. I think have we told you that yet? Nelson Cruz is on the IL with a wrist strain, which he might try to come back and play through, Scott. A pretty serious-sounding injury for Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, it's worse than just a strain, actually. It's a ruptured tendon, but there seems to be some hope he can play through it. So we'll see about that. Obviously, that would be a big loss because that's somebody you're happy to have in your DH spot, even in a head-to-head format with the smaller lineups, because he's so good.
Nelson Cruz, yeah. Christian Yelich did pinch hit on Sunday. He's been out for a little while, but he was able to pinch hit. That's a good sign. Alex Verdugo is likely out 2 weeks with an oblique strain. Max Scherzer felt much better and should throw, I think, a bullpen session on Tuesday. Ross Stripling likely to return as a reliever, but not set in stone when he comes off the IL, Ross Stripling. Yadier Molina.
Rich Hill apparently is returning as a reliever.
Oh, Rich Hill also.
Back. Yep.
Who the heck's going to be in their rotation?
Dustin May.
Yeah, they still leaves one, though. Ryu, Kershaw, Buehler, May, and Maeda for now. I think Maeda. I think Maeda is one start away from like a $1.5 million bonus.
I mean, he picked a good time then to have a great start over the weekend, because that was the first time he had even gone, I think, five innings in like a month.
He said that he had a mechanical issue. Mechanical issue sounds like it's his car. He had an issue with his mechanics, not the guys working on his car, and that he, you know, fixed it. So good start for Maeda. We'll see what happens there. Let's see what else. Yadier Molina likely back on Tuesday. Griffin Canning could make a start this week. Luis Severino through a bullpen session. Right now, positive trends for Severino. Yandy Diaz almost certainly out for the season. The Marlins may use a six-man rotation down the stretch. Johnny Cueto pitched. He threw 92 miles per hour. That's pretty good.
In the minors.
In the minors, yeah. D. Gordon's back. Mitch Haniger is going to be a rehab assignment on Tuesday, Mitch Haniger. Juan Soto day-to-day with an ankle strain. X-rays were negative, but that just happened on Sunday, and that's definitely one you got to keep an eye on. Jose Martinez left with shoulder discomfort. Chris Woodward, the manager for the Rangers, said that pitching prospect Joe Palumbo will get called up at some point, Scott.
Well, can't go worse than some of the guys they've been using at the back end of that rotation. But I would not be terribly enthusiastic about that.
Okay, that's Joe Palumbo. Brian
Dozier. They've used him a couple times already this year.
If you start Brian Dozier, just be aware his wife is about to have a baby and he could be going on paternity list.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, congratulations in advance. And look at the most added players, the ones that we haven't talked about. Kino, Talkman, Urshela, J.D. Davis, Aaron Civale, Mike Foltynewicz, Mark Melancon. Okay, here's one. Jason Kipnis, up to 43% owned. If he's on a hot streak, yeah, he is. I did not know about it. And I do not care about it, because this is the second time he's been on a hot streak. Am I going to have to argue with you again,
Scott? Is it not just one long hot streak?
Let me see.
Because that's how I've been categorizing it.
Then he wouldn't have been owned in like 20-something percent of leagues.
Well, except he's Joe Kipnis and his season-long numbers are still
Jason Kipnis, not Joe Kipnis.
What? Did I say Joe Kipnis?
He's Stanley Ipkiss.
Stanley Ipkiss, right. That's what his name always reminds
me
of.
Yeah, I would say he's on a three-week hot streak.
So
that
entering
followed
Sunday,
a three-week cold streak.
45 games. 317 batting average, 9 home runs, 933 OPS for Jason Kipnis. And that started when he said he figured something out with his hands to shorten up his swing.
Garbage.
Why are you making that gesture?
Because there's a 3 week there's a 3 week stretch in there that's pretty bad. Now, I do have to check now and see if maybe one of the reasons why it's bad is because it was the All-Star break, and that's why the
Very
fantasy points aren't good.
Few hitless games.
I'm not into it. I'm sorry.
Well, you probably don't need a second baseman, but if you do, I think Joe Kip. Why am I calling him Joe? He's been around as
Isn't
long
that
as
terrific.
He's been around since 2011, and I was writing about him as a minor leaguer before that.
Here's your hot streak here: 45 games, 933 OPS.
Joe Kipnis. With me.
That's really funny.
No, it's not funny. It's sad.
All right,
I keep like calling my kids the opposite names. Like,
oh, I think a lot of people do that.
Well, I feel like you should be older than I am before that starts.
No, don't be so hard on yourself.
Like, without fail, it's like I more often call them the wrong name than the right name.
Yeah, all right. He had a 17-game stretch within those 45 games where he had a 623 OPS. He slugged 317. So it's been hot. Pretty cold for that was surrounding the All-Star break. So that was 17 games, not so bad. And then he's picked it up again. You can have him. I don't want him. You can have him. He's too Joe Kipnis for me. Next up on the most added list, Aaron Sanchez. Yeah, so are you buying Aaron Sanchez? 75% owned, new Astros pitcher.
Not completely, but it's, you know, under the same header of, hey, look, a pitcher showing upside. Maybe. And yeah, I will point out that the second start with the Astros, again, there were more four-seam fastballs. There were more curveballs. There weren't as many as the no-hitter. Combined no-hitter. But they were up again a little bit.
Okay, Willie Calhoun, 54% owned. Actually, I would be willing to drop him for Aquino. Would you, Willie Calhoun?
Yeah, it's not by a huge degree that I prefer Aquino. I was still putting in claims for Calhoun this weekend more than I was dropping him for somebody else. But if push came to shove, I'd drop him for Aquino or J.D. Davis or certainly Urshela if he's still out there.
Cal Quantrill is now up to 34% owned. Trent Grisham is 31% owned. He hasn't quite panned out. But not, I mean, not terrible.
Okay, he's been doing all right.
Yeah, not terrible.
And he's been playing a lot. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much just five outfielder leagues where I've had a reason to add him. But he hasn't been bad.
Did you hear my update on Gavin Lux? Did you see my tweet?
No.
Yeah, an ESPN.com story on the Dodgers said Lux is, they don't see him up this year.
Hmm. I got to disagree with them there.
I think he's a Dodgers writer.
Was it the Dodgers writer quoting someone in the organization, or was this just his opinion? That's just like your opinion, man.
No, I'll read it for you. I mean, I talked about this on Friday's show, but I'll pull up the quote for you. That's a look at the most added list. Other hitters. Teoscar Hernandez, over the last 28 days, going into Sunday, he went 0-for-4, I think, on Sunday. But Teoscar Hernandez, over 28 days, was the number 18 outfielder in points leagues, number 9 in Roto, batting .299 with 10 home runs and 3 doubles in that stretch. So do you think Teoscar Hernandez should be more than just 15% owned?
Not a lot more. There's just, he'll hit some home runs, but there are many more exciting options out there.
Someone asked me a tough question. He said, would you drop Will Smith or Travis d'Arnaud for Wilson Ramos? Wilson Ramos is catching fire. He's been great in August so far. And Will Smith homered on Sunday. His previous 7 games, he was 4-for-21. I think d'Arnaud's cooled off a bit. So what do you think? I mean, these are tough choices you have to make, riding the hot hand and then the established guy where, if we asked you this question 2 months ago, you'd keep Ramos for sure, but what about now?
I don't think I would move on from Will Smith. He's slugging like .750, and there's just no reason to do that. D'Arnaud's playing time has really gone down since they acquired Aguilar, which is a curious decision on the Rays' part, but nonetheless, that's what's happened. And without that playing time advantage, d'Arnaud is not that special anymore.
Yeah, agreed. Where's my note on Gavin Lux? It's one of my tweets, Scott. Read my stinking tweets for once.
How many tweets did you send out over the weekend? You're not a prolific tweeter.
No.
You know Chris Towers.
No, I'm not. It was on Friday. It's on Thursday, I think. Thursday night. Go look at my tweets.
All right.
Josh Bell homered twice on Sunday. His first home run since the All-Star break. Would you start Josh Bell this week?
Control F for Lux. Oh, here we go. All right. You just have ESPN, colon. So it's the network saying this, apparently. The Dodgers don't just see Lux as a longtime contributor for their franchise. They see him as an instant leader in the clubhouse, but they do not see him as an option for this year's postseason run. See, that sounds like he has insider information.
Yes. Yeah,
he
does.
Or she, whoever this person is saying this.
Yeah, right. It sounds convincing.
Yeah, but sometimes people speak a little beyond their breadth.
Sometimes, you know? People are wrong about that stuff all the time with prospects. Yeah. All the time that happens. Where are we, Scott? More hitters. Matt Carpenter sat against a lefty on Sunday. Tim Edmonds been playing every day for St. Louis. Tim Edman deeply. He's not hitting very well. Luis Arraez is playing about every day for Minnesota. He's 18% owned. He's batting .350. Just hits a bunch of singles. And he might sit against
Arraez,
lefties.
It's different from Julio Urias. They pronounce their names differently.
It's spelled Arraez.
Oh, that's some. Sorry. I was thinking the Padres.
No, no. Yeah, the guy in the Twins. Yeah, Luis Arraez. He's not, I don't know. Look, I'm just kind of looking for hot hitters in deep leagues here. And Josh Naylor's been better. He's homered 3 times in his last 6 games. He doesn't really start that often. Josh Naylor, he's 4% owned.
Starting more often than Myers, though. Will Myers.
Yeah, yeah. But they got four guys for three spots. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about pitchers right after this.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Studs being studs. Trevor Bauer, 7 innings, 1 run, 11 strikeouts against the Reds. No, he pitches for the Reds. Who did he face? Against the Cubs, I believe. Yeah. Lucas Giolito, 13 strikeouts in 6 innings, 2 runs, and took the loss against Oakland on Sunday. And Mike Minor, 8 shutout innings on Sunday at Milwaukee with 11 strikeouts. Scott, what are you drinking?
Yeah.
What are you drinking? What is that?
It's Barks.
Root beer?
Barks root beer, yeah.
Look at the back.
This is my favorite part of the can. You see that?
No.
It just says, it's good. It's good.
Look at the back of the can. How many grams of sugar?
45.
You got to stop drinking that stuff, man.
No, man.
It's too much. Sugary drinks are like murder.
Only if you're not responsible with it. You got to drink responsibly.
Like one of them a day is irresponsible.
No, it's not. It's if you limit your sugar intake otherwise. I have a plan. I have a sugar.
Says the guy who dips Peeps into his tea.
Yeah, there's 7 grams of sugar in a Peep, and I'm using one. That's my low sugar caffeine alternative to a soda when I've had too much sugar for the day.
Okay.
I put a Peep in a tea. It becomes 7 grams of sugar instead of 45.
That's
I know what
good.
I'm doing.
All right. Okay, so Bauer, Giolito, Minor. Look, I'm going to speed things up. We're going to start these guys. Studs being studs, part two. How many of these guys do you feel comfortable starting? Robbie Ray, pretty good start at the Dodgers. Kenta Maeda, we talked about. Masahiro Tanaka, 8 shutout innings, only 4 strikeouts at Toronto. Swinging strike rates been pretty down lately for Tanaka. And Herman Marquez, who's home against Miami this week. Who do you feel comfortable with, Robbie Ray, Kenta Maeda, Masahiro Tanaka, or Herman Marquez?
Just thinking about all the tweets I'm going to get before you even brought that up, Adam. Now, some people just think I'm so unhealthy. I didn't hear a word you said. What are you asking me?
Robbie Ray, Kenta Maeda, Masahiro Tanaka, and Herman Marquez. Do you feel comfortable starting these guys?
Marquez, I think we're still on the away from home plan, absolutely.
What about home this week against the Marlins?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd roll those dice. Okay. I mean, unless I had a great alternative, but I probably don't.
Okay.
The others, Robbie Ray, sure. Well, Colorado or San Francisco this week. Mm. That makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, I can see what I struggle sometimes. You know, right now, sometimes teams go six man. Sometimes teams throw in an opener, like a bullpen day or something to stretch people out.
It's not ideal in any of these cases. I wouldn't be afraid to do it in any of these cases. I would rank them in terms of likelihood to start them, Marquez, Ray, Tanaka, Maeda.
Okay, so he pit one, two, So he's scheduled to face Colorado on the road, Robbie Ray. So obviously that would be bad. Studs being studs, part three. Are you starting these guys? Mike Fiers against Houston. Marco Gonzalez at Detroit. Julio Teheran probably against the Mets.
I would rather not start any of them.
I'd start Marco Gonzalez at Detroit.
Yeah, that seems like the best one. I'm not sure he's not the worst pitcher of these three, but you know, none of them are good. Julio Teheran's weird though, because unlike the other two, his strikeout rate's actually decent. His xFIP is above 5. It's, you know, partly it's because he's a flyball pitcher who doesn't seem to give up many home runs, and it's kind of a long-standing thing in his career, consistently outperforming his xFIP. I think he has by like 0.65 career xFIP versus career ERA. So, I mean, Teheran might be better than we're giving him credit for, but I'd still rather not do it.
Studs being duds. Miles Michaelis was on a nice run. He got lit up by the Pirates on Sunday. Miles Michaelis, he's at Cincinnati this week. Kyle Hendricks got crushed by Aquino and the Reds on Saturday. He's at Pittsburgh this week. John Lester did not have a good start at Cincinnati on Saturday. He's also at Pittsburgh this week. And Caleb Smith got roughed up by the Braves on Friday. And where is Dallas Keuchel? Oh, he was on Thursday. He was on Thursday, not Friday. I guess I just wanted to talk about him struggling again. Any thoughts on Michaelis, Hendricks, Lester, or Caleb Smith? Do you view any of them as less than must start?
I view Smith as less than must start. Lester certainly is less than must start. Michaelis is less than must start. I think the only one I view as must start right now is Hendricks.
I agree. All right, studs being something in between studs and duds. Marcus Stroman, 4 runs in 6 innings on 9 hits and 3 walks, but he did have 9 strikeouts. It's actually pretty dudly. It's a whip of 2 and a bad ERA, but 9Ks is good. He's at Atlanta this week, Marcus Stroman. So far, not a great 2 starts with the Mets for him. Yu Darvish, this is a pretty good start, except, but he gave up 3 homers. So, you know, we don't want to see that. He had given up 6 home runs in his previous 6 starts. Darvish gave up 3 on Friday. 6 innings, 4 runs, 9Ks. And Jake Odorizzi, 5 2/3, 6 hits, no runs, 4 walks, 6 strikeouts. Actually, not bad, but didn't get the quality start. Walked 4. And he left a runner in scoring position every inning, Odorizzi. So got maybe a little lucky against the Indians. Anything to say about Stroman, Darvish, and Odorizzi? How would you rank them?
Darvish, Stroman, and Odorizzi is how I would rank them. Odorizzi, for 3 straight starts now, has been better. Not pitching deep, but better, just not just in terms of result, but like swinging strikes have been up again. And, you know, he was clearly not the guy he was earlier in the season, but I think he's an okay matchups play. But Darvish, I think, is just must start right now. And Stroman isn't far off, frankly. His first 2 starts with the Mets haven't been great, but nonetheless.
Okay. Fringy starting pitchers, part one. If you see him on your waiver wire, who would you pick up? Chris Archer, Brad Keller, Aaron Sanchez, Joe Musgrove, Jeff Samardzija. Chris Archer, Brad Keller, Aaron Sanchez, Joe Musgrove, Jeff Samardzija.
Keller in a points league I would pick up. This last start wasn't very good, but 2.87 ERA in his past 7 starts, 6 of the 7, 6-plus innings. So in a points league, that plays for sure. The whip's going to be high because of the kind of pitcher he is. But if he was out there, I'd pick up Musgrove. Not to start, but I still think there's something to like there, as awful as he's been lately. And Archer, I'd probably pick him up. I mean, Archer's a guy who I've dropped some and I've picked up some just depending on my needs. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's at least to a point where he's usable again. I mean, this last start was definitively good. 2 earned runs in 6 innings. Terrific. With 9 strikeouts, yeah, and no walks. And he's sticking to that fastball slider plan. 89 of his 100 pitches in that start were one or the other.
Fringy starting pitchers, part two. You saw them on your waiver wire. Who would you pick up? Tanner Roark, Ronaldo Lopez, and Mike Leake.
Well, none of them, like, automatically. It would be filling a need.
Lopez is the best here, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Though, I mean, that little run he was on where he looked like he might be making a leap is, he's since come back down to earth from there in terms of the strikeouts. And I think the velocity's dropped back again to a normal level. He's the best. Roark's not bad. I mean, two good starts with Oakland. Obviously, that's a good environment for a pitcher.
Yeah.
I like him better than Fiers. I like him better than Bassett,
Fiers. Okay. Okay. Fringy starting pitchers part three. Andrew Heaney, Vince Velasquez, Jordan Lyles, Adam Wainwright, and Gio Gonzalez.
Yeah, I would. I'm kind of interested in Lyles. This start Sunday was very good. And really, it's been three good starts since joining the Brewers. It's just this was the first one where he gave any length. He had nine strikeouts in seven innings.
Well,
this
is also the first one where he had good strikeout numbers.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So,
but
not
he's had
to the
good,
point where I'm
he's
adding
had good
him,
strikeout
but...
numbers all year. I mean, Lyles is still 104 strikeouts at 99 and a third.
The best stretch he ever had in his career was with the Brewers last year.
Yeah.
It's mostly in relief, but still, they may have a good read on what he needs to do.
Right.
I'll keep an eye on it.
And in deep leagues, there's Sandy Alcantara, there's Asher Wojciechowski, Devin Smeltzer, who did not do well on Friday, Mike Montgomery, who's Scott's fave in the world, Adrian Hauser, Patrick Sandoval, Sean Reed Foley, Wade LeBlanc. What do you think about Sandoval? I mean, it's not surprising that he got crushed at Boston this weekend, but I think
I mean, four walks in 4 2/3 innings, that had a lot to do with it.
Sure. Sandoval, his first start wasn't a start, actually. His first appearance was five innings, three hits, two runs, two walks, eight strikeouts at Cincinnati. I wouldn't mind them using an opener again with Sandoval, but he's got the White Sox at home this week. So 5% owned, 4% owned, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a very desperate situation if you're turning to him, but I'm not totally disinterested. The changeup, even in the short stint, it showed it looks like a great swing and miss pitch, the changeup.
Okay.
The control issues were present. President? Heck.
It's almost that time, Scott.
Heck?
It's almost...
the root beer. It's not good.
President. I love it. Wow.
Present. Mm-hmm. Present is what I was trying to say.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know what was... he had control issues in the minors, too. Yeah.
Control issues. All right, that's Scott White, After Dark. I'm Adam Azer. Send us your emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We got a big surprise for you on Monday night show that's going to air on Tuesday. Big, big surprise. Get excited. I'm serious, people. This is big Fantasy Baseball Today news.
Big.
I don't want to miss it. It is big.
He's not lying.
It's big. All right, we'll be back on Tuesday, Monday night/Tuesday. We'll talk to you then. See ya.